Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest-running post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
This is obviously where I wanted to be, to build upon what we've already done last season.
The head coach.
You know, we want the most talented training camp roster that you can have.
And the fans. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, the state of Wisconsin just keeps on winning. Welcome in, Bucks fans. Bucks win their third straight tonight, this time against the Memphis Grizzlies. Another Western Conference opponent, 110-103. Welcome in, Radio Joe Zanzola in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer tonight. Good to be back on the postgame show this year when the opportunities come. And boy, choking up over my words. What a performance tonight from this Milwaukee Bucks team, and really the back and forth that we saw from both of these squads. We knew going in that there were some guys on this Grizzlies team to pay attention to offensively. Obviously, Mike Conley, you know what you're going to get from him. You know what Marcus Gasol brings in the interior. And of course, the sixth man right now, Tyreke Evans, who was really frustrating a lot of people there in the fourth quarter. Bucks failing to play any defense on him, and he's allowing to get away, driving to the rack, hitting a three on the outside. Next thing you know, the Grizzlies are up five. And you're starting to think, are the Bucks sliding here? And the Bucks have done a pretty good job throughout the entire course of this game battling back. And so the offense barrage starts with numerous different highlights from this Bucks team. Giannis, of course, coming through with a couple of big plays. Him and Henson finding what I guess looked to be an alley-oop. I mean, Henson throwing the ball to Giannis. It goes off his fingertips and into the hoop. I'll take that. Of course, Tony Snell tying it up with a three. Bledsoe flying to the rack with 5 minutes to go to give him a little bit of a cushion. And then you get this monster block from John Henson, which I thought to me was probably the play of the game, because then that would set up Middleton on the other end with a three-point shot. And that did it. And the Bucks played some better defense there to close things out. Just an overall good performance for this Bucks team, considering playing three games in the span of four nights. Got to keep this in mind, guys. You know, we always talk about the Milwaukee Bucks going out, putting energy into a game, and then going into the next night, whether it's a back-to-back or they play two nights from now, they don't bring that same energy. And I've always said, if this Bucks team wants to take their game to the next level this season, got to see more energy. You got to see it more consistently, because this is the only way that they're going to be able to win, especially that with the scheme that they're putting out there defensively, which requires a lot of energy. And at times in this game, defense looked okay. Other times in this game, nothing at all from the defense. And the Grizzlies were able to walk all over the Bucks. So energy is a big thing. And to see the Bucks really turn it up late in this fourth quarter and to run away with a 110-103 victory tonight is really impressive. And now they've won three straight games. They're over the 500 mark. And well, we have a rematch with the 10-3 Detroit Pistons, who have been playing some outstanding basketball. And you would think that it would be Cleveland's division. It's not. Detroit is owning it right now. Detroit's playing some really good basketball. It seems like they've got some good things in place. And again, going into that game on Wednesday night, you are at home, but you're going to have to find a way to stop quite a few guys on that team, including Andre Drummond, who is a beast. Now, John Henson, who we're going to be talking a lot about tonight, and we're going to be talking a lot about this offense. I don't expect John Henson to go out tonight, go 8 of 10 from the floor, 17 points. That's just not John Henson. It's not. And to see all the buckets inside, to see the baby hook, you know, That's great, and I love it, but I don't expect John Henson to put up 17 points a night. That's just not going to happen. In fact, I think that's a rarity. You know, the best thing you're hoping out of Henson is to continue to bring that high energy. I think, at least in this stretch of games here, guys, at least in the stretch of 13 games, wouldn't you agree that John Henson is playing better defense? Not saying it's great defense, because with John Henson and his build, he's never really put the muscle on him to really be effective against some of the best bruisers in this league. He's never been that way. This is part of the reason why having a hard time seeing John Henson in the starting lineup. But with the energy he's brought in, you know, these first six or seven games, and then moving him into the starting lineup over the Thon, which I think has been a good decision by Jason Kidd, he's been all right. He's been okay at times. And he had a couple of blocks, two tonight, three assists. I like that little assist, that little dish that he had to Eric Bledsoe in the corner early on in the game for that wide open three. But, you know, John Henson coming out tonight continues to bring the energy. The big question with John Henson is, because, again, we see it in small sample sizes, and then after that, it's like John Henson's lost. There's no energy. It's gone. It doesn't exist. I want to see this kind of consistency from him, because until the Bucks try and make another trade for a center who's going to be able to rebound the ball and maybe be able to shot block, because again, I don't think Henson does that consistently yet, but if they're able to find that, now all of a sudden you got that plus Henson and Thon, and that's okay, and I feel much better. I know a lot of you feel the same. What I want to know tonight, though, from you Bucks fans, this offense, they put up 110 points, and we knew this when the Bucks made that trade for Eric Bledsoe. Bledsoe, by the way, had a couple good moments tonight. Wasn't the best of performances, I would say. I mean, 27 minutes, he puts up 15, but he was also 6 of 8 from the line. We knew when Bledsoe came in that the emphasis of this team was going to be the offense. That if they were going to win basketball games, they were probably going to outshoot teams. And what we've seen in this game, for example, is just that. An inconsistent defense. At times, there's no energy at all with their defensive scheme. But on the flip side of things, they're able to bring it offensively. And Malcolm Brogdon, he had said it at halftime to Sophia Minard. He's talking about, look, we lacked ball movement. We lacked energy, especially in that second quarter. Things started to fall apart in the second quarter. The first quarter, I mean, they were like, what, 13 of 20? 6 of 6 from three-point land. Middleton's got three threes already to start, and then all of a sudden, they completely lose it because they lose that energy. And then it translates back in the third quarter. It was a solid third quarter for the Bucks, where you outscore Memphis 24-12, and then you come back in the final 5 minutes of that game and bring it. I just want to know from you, Bucks fans, with the addition of Bledsoe now, and now that you've seen him a little bit with this offense, can this Bucks team, can they be more than a top 10 offense in this league? Do the Bucks, if they are going to be able to get to this, let's say, 50-win threshold that I've heard some Bucks fans say, the Bucks themselves have come out and have put these lofty goals on them, saying Eastern Conference Finals and top 5 defense and 50 wins. No one has set a top 5 offense. So I just want to know from you tonight, 414-799-1250, do you think this Bucks team is capable of getting to be a top 5 offense? Because I'll tell you right now, I don't think this defense can even crack top 15. I'm not convinced by it. We saw it, though, these last two games. I mean, Fox Sports Wisconsin was putting up numbers before the game tonight about their defensive efficiency and, you know, not allowing a ton of points, and they were the best in the league over two games, and that's great. I'm just not convinced that this defense can hold up throughout an entire season because you have to put so much energy to it. But I think what's more realistic is you've got Bledsoe, you got Giannis, Middleton had a good night tonight, and then down the road, Jabari Parker's going to come back, and I think he'll be one of the keys to see how much this offense flourishes. But I think for what it's worth right now, you're definitely putting up the points. 110 points, it's pretty darn good. So I just want to know from you, 414-799-1250, Can this Bucks team achieve top five offense? Is that possible? Is that asking too much? What would be the ceiling? And do you have any hope that this defense can improve? Bucks win tonight, 110-103. We'll have a lot to get to on tonight's show. Baby Tausch is producing the show tonight. Sunshine, our former intern, has just been hired as a producer, and I'm sure you'll hear from him down the road here on The Fan. He's training tonight with Baby Tausch, so they're hanging out. They're taking your calls, and I want to hear from you. Do you think this Bucks offense is capable of getting to top five? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. You can also hit us up on social media. Go to our Twitter page, at 105.7FM, The Fan, or you can follow me on Twitter, at Radio Joe Sports. In for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer tonight as the Bucks get the win. And just looking through this box score, you know, Giannis, I don't know if tonight felt like a quiet 27 for Giannis, because believe me, Giannis came in and made some big plays, especially down the stretch. And there were a couple of times where I saw in the first half, Giannis had the ball and no one was moving off the ball. And Giannis was put into some tough situations where you've got a defender on him. He can't do anything. No one's moving to help. No one's trying to cause any disruptions to try to move and get that ball out of Giannis's hands to someone else. That bothered me a little bit. But again, did a better job in the second half, moving the basketball a little bit more, getting guys open. It wasn't just Giannis's show tonight. And I like to see that. Because again, Giannis cannot just be the man every single night. There's going to be nights where this Bucks offense is going to have to rely on other guys, like an Eric Bledsoe, which isn't a bad second option. Chris Middleton is not a bad second option. Middleton tonight, 6 of 13, 4 of 5 from three-point land, had 17 points along with four boards and a couple of dimes. And Middleton, too, he got hot first quarter. You didn't see much of him in the second quarter, and then came back, hit a couple big shots, including that big three off of John Henson. But you've got guys in this lineup that are capable of scoring. And they are capable of putting up 15, 20-point-plus points a night. And when you're getting other contributions from Malcolm Brogdon, who tonight had 10 points and got into foul trouble, and that hurts. But Malcolm Brogdon, so far through the first three games since Bledsoe's come in, has been pretty okay off the bench. And I was a little worried about putting Brogdon in that position. I hate to say the sixth man with Malcolm Brogdon, but I was like with Sparky. I just wanted to see Malcolm Brogdon stay with the lineup that he's in, have Bledsoe come off the bench, have Bledsoe create a little bit more to set some of these bench players up for more opportunities, just to spread this offense out across the board and to give you the best opportunity for putting up the most points. But as we've seen, Bledsoe and Giannis, they've worked well together. We saw tonight, from an offensive standpoint, Brogdon and Thon Maker working well together. Did Thon have a foul tonight? No, he didn't. Thon Maker, let's make this clear. Thon Maker played well on both ends of the floor and did not have a foul tonight. I'm pretty sure that is the first time this season Thon Maker has not had a foul. Kudos to Thon. A lot of Bucks fans criticize Thon Maker. A lot of people already assume what Thon Maker already is. I don't think that's fair. Thon Maker had a good performance tonight, and he worked really well with Malcolm Brogdon. And Thon did a good job at times cleaning up when Malcolm Brogdon was able to drive. And he had, what was that? That he had like a beautiful spin layup. It was spectacular, and he didn't finish it. And Thon comes back, draws the foul, and they're able to go from there. It was good to see Thon and Malcolm Brogdon work together, because we've seen in the past Malcolm and Greg Monroe working together. Maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something there. Mike in Greendale, you're first up on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame shows. The Bucks win tonight, 110-103. What's up?
Hey, I want to talk about the Bucks defense a little bit. I know you don't think they can be top even half, you said, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think they need to be. I've seen every game since Bledsoe got there, they have had like a 5 to 7 minute stretch where they have just played lights out defense, and they've turned that into offense. And I think if they can just do that every game, for that short period of time, maybe once in the first half, once in the second half, that's all they really need. With the way how good the offense is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just based on the way the scheme has worked, you have to put so much energy into it, and you're constantly moving all over the floor. The way I see it, it's these guys, they're all following where the ball is going. And what happens is they're all bunching up into the lane, and now everyone is wide open on the perimeter. And if you're able to allow some good ball movement, the next thing you know, you've got a wide open three. And you're right, and thanks for the call, Mike. You're right. There are times, like we saw in this game tonight, where the defense was really good. I mean, Memphis got into a scoring drought in the third quarter where they were like 3 of 15. And, I mean, nothing was falling. And the interior defense, I thought, picked up a little bit from the Bucks. You're going to have to find a way to force whatever turnovers you can, but by doing that in transition, you're going to have to be able to take advantage and score off of those turnovers. You're just going to have to. Otherwise, what's going to happen is it's going to be up to you to play to your strengths, which means hitting shots, driving, doing everything else offensively. Because again, this Bucks team, with what they have on the roster right now, and really granted, pretty much everyone is healthy except for Teletovic, who's going to be probably missing a few games, and we haven't heard anything more about that. But at this point, this offense is definitely capable of putting up 100 a night. It's just going to be a question of, like Mike said, you know, is spurts of this defense, good moments of this defense, is that good enough to just get them that win? 414-799-1250. Again, Bucks win tonight, 110-103. Asking you, top five offense from this Bucks team. Again, they put up 110 tonight on the Grizzlies, battle back late in the fourth quarter. Do you think this is that they're capable of doing this, especially when Jabari Parker comes back, probably in February, as they're trying to look at right now? I'm Radio Joe Zanzola, in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. We'll take more of your calls and get to some of your hits on social media next here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's get tonight's Dave and Buster's shot of the game. Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa, the only place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back. Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. The Bucks win tonight 110-103. It's their third straight win now. You beat the Spurs, you beat the Lakers, and now you beat the Grizzlies. And next up for the Bucks, they'll take on the Detroit Pistons at the BMO Harris Bradley Center Wednesday night. And it should be a good one in the rematch. It would be nice to see the Bucks get right back and beat the Pistons, because this is a team we're talking about. I don't know if I want to talk about it. Because you know Cleveland's going to get high, right? I mean, just looking at their division, it is wide open right now. And let's be honest. Do we really think, Detroit, they're off to a good start. Do we really think Detroit's going to win that division? Bottom line is this. You're facing a divisional opponent. You got to beat Detroit. It'd be nice to get a bounce back win against them. It would be much deserved. Again, 110-103 tonight. The Bucks knock off the Memphis Grizzlies, who were just coming to the end of their road trip. They were 2-2 heading into this game. And Memphis, of course, has played some pretty good basketball up to this point, beaten some good teams, including Golden State. So for the Bucks tonight, and this game went back and forth, to see them rally in the fourth quarter when it seemed like Tyreke Evans was taking over the game, very, very impressive. Let's get to our shot of the game. And there were some good ones to choose from. I'm actually going to go back late, and I mean late, at the end of the first quarter. Malcolm Brogdon had this pull-up three. And I'll tell you what, it was a beauty.
But don't want to force it up if it's not there.
That's all I can say, too. Wow. Here's Aiden.
As you saw Parsons on his heels thinking about penetration. Malcolm recognized, faced him up.
And I like courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, Jim Paschke, Marcus Johnson on the call, asking you Bucks fans tonight. We saw 110 points tonight. We've seen a lot of points so far this season, especially now with the addition of Eric Bledsoe and what that's going to bring. Do you think that this Bucks team is capable of getting to top five in the NBA? Not just in the Eastern Conference, I'm talking about top five in the league when it comes to their offense. Because I think what this Bucks team is going to need, if they want to be able to get to 50 wins or at least to 45, I have them at 47 wins. what's going to get them there is going to be this offense. And again, they still need to go out and make another trade. They're going to need to get another big man. They're going to need someone that's going to be able to help rebound the ball, be able to get a couple buckets from time to time, and be able to have the ability to block shots. Again, Jahlil Okafor is the name I keep hearing. I'd be perfectly fine with Okafor. You're going to have to teach him a little bit how to block shots, but he can definitely bring in some rebound ability. But this offense, I believe, with what you have right now, your top three guys in Giannis, Middleton, and of course Eric Bledsoe, and then you mix Jabari Parker into it, it's going to get interesting. It really is, because now you've got so many different options from a scoring standpoint. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Joel, leaving the Bradley Center, you're next up on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? So the thing that struck me today watching the game is they played really well, and Memphis is a good team, but it's not even like they played, you know, that great. Like, they played well, the Bucks, but their ceiling to me now is so high with Bledsoe. You got now a guy who's a legit scorer. And Brogdon, he's nice, but he's not someone that I think other teams worry about. Dele, obviously, nobody worries about. So now you have legit scoring Brogdon, or legit scoring Bledsoe, Giannis, of course, and then Middleton. I don't think they're top five yet, but I think they're not far away. And with Parker coming back, and hopefully he can be ready for the playoffs to be something like he was last year, I really think they can make some noise. The thing that I want to see maybe is them trading Parker. And I don't even know what you trade him for, but I just don't want to take chances on a guy that has seemed like he's obviously had two knee injuries, and you have Giannis. So, like, you don't need to take any chances. Just do sure thing. But with Parker, while he's shown promise, the knee injuries make me feel like he's a risk, and so I would look to trade him and get something that's more promising.
Well, and that's just the thing, Joel, and thanks for the call, because I'm right with you with Giannis, and I know many Bucks fans feel the same way, or not Giannis, Jabari Parker. I know a lot of Bucks fans feel the same way about Jabari Parker coming off of a second knee surgery. Everything you're hearing out of Bucks practice throughout the offseason, in shooter rounds, everything that's been going on, all the reports that come out say that Jabari Parker, he's doing great. He looks great. Looks like he's ready to play. He looks explosive. It looks like Jabari. Nothing's changed. And I know that sounds great, but it's just so hard for me to trust it. And again, I think the Bucks were smart not trying to pay Jabari Parker any kind of money going into restricted free agency, because again, if they're not impressed with what Jabari Parker does in the span of a couple of months, they may not be willing to match any offer sheet that another team throws at Parker. And really, I don't know how much money other teams would want to throw at Jabari Parker, because they know the same risk that the Bucks have. You can't, as of this point, you can't trade Jabari Parker. I don't think there are any teams out there that are willing to trade for a guy that's had two surgeries on his ACL. Now, the thing is, and the other debate about this is with Parker, when Parker comes back, do you put Parker in the lineup with the three guys that you have already with Giannis, Middleton, and Bledsoe? Or do you try to spread it out again and try to take either Parker, start him off the bench, or take Middleton or Bledsoe and start them off the bench? The debate might be more so now Middleton or Parker. It's hard for me to put all four of those guys in the lineup. I know that sounds great. I know that on paper, that looks awesome. I know that looks like four guys that could go up against the Cavs and challenge them for the Eastern Conference Finals. But again, I think from a spacing standpoint, from a scoring standpoint, and trying to divvy up the shots, I'd rather have one of those 20-point-plus scorers come off the bench and see what you can do. And again, that's betting on the fact that there's just no issues, there's no setbacks with Jabari, and he's able to go out there and be the same guy that we saw last year. That's just the thing. That's just the issue that I have. 414-799-1250. Do you guys think that this Bucks offense can get to be top five? Justin in North Carolina, you're next up on the Fan. What's up?
What's up, homeboy Joe? How you doing, brother?
I'm all right, my man. How you doing?
Man, I just get a little bit upset when these people try to come for you on Facebook and Twitter and all those keyboard gangsters like Billy Mike calls them. That's just ridiculous, man. I see it, but, you know, whatever.
Well, hey man, everyone's got their haters. You just got to deal with it. It's part of the territory.
That's all right. You're a good dude, man. We need a round of golf, but
yeah, I'll go out to North Carolina.
Oh, listen, you come out here, we're gonna treat you like a king, bro.
For sure.
So, what I saw tonight, I saw good ball movement. I saw good defense. Can this offense go top five? Absolutely. But here's how it's going to happen. Jabari's not starting. He's coming off the bench. We don't have a shot creator off the bench anymore. Brogdon is good, but he's not a shot creator.
Right.
Jabari would he's the only guy on our second team that can demand a legitimate double team. So I think you put Jabari on the bench, let him get his legs under him, and it does, like, I played basketball. Joe, I'm sure you played it in grade school and all. It doesn't matter where you start the game, it's where you finish the game.
Right.
And I think Jabari can be on that floor to finish the game with those guys, like Brogdon is at time to time. The other thing, man, is, so we gave up a lot of points today, but those guys shot lights out in the second quarter. They were damn near 70%, I thought, and 60% in the first half.
Yep.
That's a fluke. And well, I thought we did a good job circumventing everything and coming back to Bucks basketball in the second half. This team is great. I was not one. I was like Sparky. I wasn't for the Bledsoe trade, but I'm going to buy me a Bledsoe t-shirt or something tomorrow, bro. Like, Bledsoe is that good. Keep him healthy.
Yep.
And then lastly, so Joe, I'm going to leave you with this, man. I'm going to let you go because I know you got a cast of thousands on the line.
Cast of thousands, yes.
I keep trying to call into the show too, man, but I get too busy during the day. I'm sorry about that. But I'm going to call in because we got to talk Packers about that other bum. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. I'm watching the Suns game, Lakers game right now. Monroe is not even on the bench. I know he's hurt, but he's not even on the bench. So there's still a chance with the whole buyout thing. I know he loved kid. I know he loved the system. I know having Bledsoe, I feel like he should love this situation even more. Do you think there's a chance where the Suns will buy him out and we can use some of those veteran minimum cap exclusions that we have to bring this guy back, man?
I don't know, man.
I'm listen off there, Joey. You know I love you, bro. I'm going to call the Bill Michael show tomorrow. We're going to raise hell about that other guy, though.
Oh, okay. That sounds good to me, Justin. I look forward to that tomorrow. Thanks for the call, brother. You know what? Look, by all indications, I'd like to think that the Suns are going to move Greg Monroe. I don't think Phoenix is his final destination for this season. I think there is another move in place. I think they want to move that money. Could they buy him out? That is a possibility as well if they're not able to get any suitors. The bottom line is it's an expiring contract. It would be intriguing for any team to take on at this point. And, of course, Greg Monroe is still not 100% healthy. So, I mean, look, would it be kind of cool if Greg Monroe was on this team with Eric Bledsoe? Now, again, I don't know what the Bucks could have given up instead of Monroe. I mean, again, you would have to put together some money in order to make that happen. I just don't know if Phoenix would want Dellavedova in the trade or if they wanted Teletovic back on their team. I just don't see any of that. But it would be cool to have a shooter off the bench. Let's just put this into perspective. It would be cool to have Jabari back playing at a high level. He comes off the bench, and then on top of it, Monroe comes back as well, and Monroe's coming off the bench. And now you got a big who can rebound, can play a little defense in addition to that shooter. Yeah, in a perfect world, sure, that would be cool. Do I think Greg Monroe's coming back in a Bucks uniform, Bucks take him back on some, you know, minimum thing, you know, go through some of those exemptions? I don't think so. I think we're all just dreaming. And believe me, I'm a big Greg Monroe fan, and I miss Moose. I really do. 414-799-1250, asking you guys tonight, do you think this Bucks offense can be top five as they win, beating the Memphis Grizzlies 110-103? They are back over the 500 mark at 7-6. Let's go to Jeff in Waukesha. Jeff, you're next on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
Great win by the Bucks. Definitely think they can be a top five offense. You got 20 points sitting, you know, waiting at Jabari. But that just makes me, it drives me nuts when all these people want to trade Parker. Yes, he's going to be coming off a second knee injury. You just traded for a point guard with three knee surgeries, and we're thrilled to death with that guy. So why so down on a guaranteed 20-7, but a guy that quit on his team in Phoenix after three knee surgeries through his career we're hyped on? I don't get it.
So you're not a fan of Bledsoe?
I'm a fan of him. He's been playing great. But I don't understand why we're down on Jabari with two knee surgeries, but we're so high on Bledsoe with three knee surgeries.
Well, and that's
math is pretty simple in my world.
Well, for sure, and
more than two.
Yes, of course, Jeff, and thanks for the call. The problem is with Bledsoe, and this is why when they traded for Bledsoe, it wasn't like I was jumping out of my seat going, "Oh my God, look what they're doing! Eastern Conference Finals, here we go!" No. I liked the deal. But that was one of the red flags all along, was the issues with his meniscus. He's got what, like no meniscus in one knee, and he's got a partial meniscus in another. I mean, what? Huh? And that's going to be a risk. Another reason why you wouldn't want to trade Jabari Parker at all, because if Bledsoe goes down, God forbid, this season at any point, you're definitely going to want Jabari Parker back, and now you have to go all in on it because now you really have to gamble that Jabari Parker is able to make up for what Eric Bledsoe left off. And you can be in a situation where you don't want to lose Eric Bledsoe, but that's going to be the risk in all this, guys. It is going to be the risk. The knee problems with Bledsoe, the history that he's had, that is a red flag. It is. And for everything I'm seeing right now with Eric Bledsoe, he looks explosive. It's athleticism that we haven't seen at the point guard position in a while. He is a dynamic player. He is different than what the Bucks already have between Dellavedova and what they have with Malcolm Brogdon. He is clearly the most athletic point guard they have on their team right now. 414-799-1250, Danny in Greenfield. You're next up on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, not much. I'm just want to say... I have actually a question. Why he's playing this much Tony Snell? The guy is not, I mean, he's a good guy, but he's not good of a player, you know, and he's playing him so many minutes. He could play other guy, you know, that is better than him. The guy, another night, he missed, you know, a couple of easy shots, and he playing pretty good minutes, but he doesn't show me anything.
Well, what they want, and Danny, thanks for the call. What they want out of Tony Snell is to be able to play defense and hit an occasional three. And I'll go against Danny and say, when it comes to hitting three-point shots, don't you trust Tony Snell? If you've been watching this team so far through the first 13 games, one thing is for sure. Tony Snell, when he's open, when he's got a good look, he hits it. He did it again tonight. I mean, he's 2-for-4 from three-point land, 3-for-6 from the field, 9 points. I'll take that out of Tony Snell. And I've actually been saying a couple times on my Twitter account, at Radio Joe Sports, that I'm kind of surprised there's situations where when the offense is struggling, when they're down, why aren't they trying to draw more for Tony Snell? And what I mean by that is, okay, Tony Snell, we've seen a couple of times, is able to get to the basket, but that's not his game. He is expected to hit that perimeter shot. And that's why, with good ball movement and allowing Snell to get open, why not draw up more plays to get Tony Snell involved, to have him hit? Because really, he is trustworthy with the three-point shot. He is. Now, I'm perfectly fine with the minutes he played tonight. He played 31 minutes. I'm fine with that. And his defense is good, too. It's solid. You know, again, you look at his contract, the money that he made, that he's getting paid now from the contract that he signed this past offseason. You know, it's part of these TV deals. It's part of these salary caps exploding. So what Tony Snell is making, you look at it on the surface and say he shouldn't be making it, but it's on the same level and on the same par as a lot of players like him. Do I agree with that? No, but that's just what it is. That's what the nature is. 110-103, Bucks win tonight. We'll get an update from Baby Tausch coming up here, and we'll hear more from you. Top five offense, do you believe it? We'll find out. I'm Radio Joe in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. More of the Milwaukee Bucks postgame show coming up next here on The Fan.
What defensive play stood out? Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113, Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Milwaukee Bucks pick and save postgame show.
Another win for your Milwaukee Bucks, 110-103, the final tonight. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola, in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. You can follow me on Twitter, at Radio Joe Sports. You can also follow us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bill Baby Tal Schmidt is on the other side of the glass tonight with sunshine, and we want to hear from you. Do you think this Bucks offense can get top five in the NBA, considering what they're able to put up now and what they could be putting up when Jabari Parker comes back, assuming that we see the old Jabari Parker from what we saw last year, how explosive he was, the jump shooter that he was, the slasher that he was, everything about him being that natural-born scorer that he was coming out of Duke. Do we think that this Bucks offense can achieve top-five status? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. And if you're at the BMO Harris-Bradley Center tonight at the game, looked like it was a good crowd tonight. I was supposed to go down and cover it for the station, but then Sparky was out sick, so I had to step in because we're a team here at the Fan. So I had a chance here to take over the show tonight. So it looked like it was a decent crowd. But yeah, if you were there tonight, love to hear from you. Love to hear from the fan base, what the energy was like at that game as well. Defensive play of the game, and this was really the biggest play of the game, to say the least. John Henson, who just had a big night tonight with this crucial block, and then Chris Middleton on the other end banks the three-pointer.
Gasol, they double on the catch. John Henson with a block. Tony Snell drops it. And Middleton brings that baby. Smile, Chris. That's a good one.
Yes, sir. I like courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, Jim Paschke and Marcus Johnson on the call. And John Henson tonight, what a performance, to say the least. 25 minutes, 8 of 10 from the field, 17 points, 9 boards, and 4 offensive rebounds in there, 3 assists, couple of blocks for Henson. And is it me, or does John Henson have like an extra layer of nasty to him? Like, he shows it on the court, but then he's got more of an attitude. Like, if there's a foul call that doesn't go his way, John, he barks. Maybe Greg Monroe left some of that attitude behind in Milwaukee or something, and Henson adopted it. I don't know, but it just seems to me, you know, John Henson, we all know John Henson. A lot of times it looks like he's smiling. That's his face. That's his face, man. He always looks like he's happy, he's in a good mood, but I don't know. Every time Henson gets a foul call, goes against him, he's been barking. Just an observation, that's all. 414-799-1250. We'll talk more about Henson coming up in this defense. Sith Lord, West Dallas, been looking forward to this. You're next up on the Fan. What's up, Sith?
Yeah, man, you know, I agree with what you were saying before about Bledsoe. Like, I wasn't up in arms either about getting him. I'm very, very, like, the trade at the end of the day was really awesome because you basically didn't have to give up anything to get him. Right. Monroe wasn't coming back. You weren't signing him. And, you know, those picks are so protected, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
Nope.
But the number one thing that I can't wait to see, you saw especially in that first game against San Antonio when Bledsoe was pushing the fast break and Giannis was trailing him, it's like, how are you going to stop that? Now, once Jabari Parker comes back and you got Giannis behind him on his left and Jabari Parker on his right, it's game over. Like, there's no defense in the league that's going to stop those three from getting to the rack at that point.
Yeah, and you know what the thing is, Sith? I've just been so impressed by the way Bledsoe has just settled in. I mean, this is his third game, and the chemistry that he already has with Giannis is just—it's rock solid, man.
Oh man, yeah, he looks so. I mean, and you know what? Bledsoe is obviously the most athletic point guard he's probably the most like sheer point guard they've had since I don't know, maybe TJ Ford, but let's not like overlook Brogdon. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying in general, like Bucks Nation, like Malcolm Brogdon is a standout talent. Finding that kid in the second round, it's been unbelievable how good he is, man. My hat's off to him.
Yep, I completely agree. One more thing, Sith, before I let you go, and Sith Lord is always a good follow on Twitter as well. What's your Twitter handle?
@SithLordAR.
Yeah, he does a bunch of just great videos with great Bucks takes. I should like follow suit and do the same thing, but I just try to avoid the profanities. But anyway, Seth, hey man, look, do you think with Parker coming back, with what you have, what you just said between Bledsoe and Giannis and Middleton, do you think this Bucks offense is top five? Do you buy that?
Yeah, I think it will be top five once he's like back in full stride. It'll be interesting to see how he is once he comes back. But you have all the pieces right now. I mean, like, and we could talk all day about like the studs on the team, but that's what's so awesome so far about this season. The role players are really playing well too. I mean, you were just talking about John Henson stepping up,
yep.
But how about Tony Snell in the starting lineup? The guy, every open shot he gets, he hits, and that's exactly what you want him to do. everything is trending in the right direction, man. They just need to stay the course, and it's going to happen.
Yep, absolutely. Sith, I always appreciate it, my man. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. There he is, Sith Lord in West Dallas. Yeah, always a good follow on Twitter. He's got quite a following as well. It's good to chat with him. 414-799-1250 is the Bucks win tonight, 110-103. And that's the thing. I just over the weekend, I'm sitting there and I'm watching that Spurs game with Bledsoe in it. I'm watching that Bucks game against the Lakers, where it's that fast-paced, up-tempo game the entire time, because that's the way the Lakers play. And just to see that chemistry between Giannis and Bledsoe already, two games in, to see some of these passes around the back, the bounce passes through traffic to Giannis, just finding Giannis so many different ways. Giannis, of course, does his job with all these different cuts that he's able to allow. Just the chemistry between those two guys through, now we're talking three games. That's good. That's really good. And yeah, guilty as charged here. I said it before, I'll say it again. I really felt that Bledsoe, to start things off, should come off the bench and to be able to get his feet wet and be able to create and distribute, facilitate to some of these other guys on the bench. Because again, you have to rely on your bench to be able to help produce the offense that you have to think now is going to be their biggest strength to all of this. You just have to think. And again, the majority of Bucks fans say, well, that's stupid, Joe. Why would you even think that? I'm just trying to look at it from the standpoint of spread it out. Spread it out. I'm trying to make this offense as fluid and fruitful as we can, because again, I don't trust this defense. I just don't. And this is the other thing. One of our former interns, Tyler Peters, is like all over me on Twitter and Facebook. He tweets, TyRunner0097 tweets at Radio Joe Sports and 105.7 FM The Fan. You calling the defense out for giving up 38 points in the second half is like calling a pitcher terrible because he threw a complete one-hitter. That's a good analogy. And he's correct. If you look at the second half, Bucks only gave up 38 points. But Memphis went into a huge scoring drought. They were what, like 3 of 15 or something from the field? Part of that was good defense. The other part of it was just shots that weren't falling. It was the exact opposite of what you saw in the first half, where the Bucks gave up 65 points. 65! Yes, you can say 38 points in the second half. That's a big turnaround, ladies and gentlemen. It is. But in the first half, to give up 65 points... can't say that's good. Thank God they didn't give up another 65. And really, this is the way I read the scheme, and maybe you guys disagree. The way I just read this scheme is, it's all about traps. It's all about double teams. It's always trying to find the best way to force a turnover, but what you're going to give up is a wide open guy in the perimeter. And that's just the way it is, that all five defenders are more concerned with following the ball than they are following the guy that they're supposed to defend. And if you fail with your trap and they're able to get that ball off, they can move it around, they can find the best shot possible, and they can drain that three. And we did see that again in the first half, especially. I'm just not convinced that this defense, like some of the Bucks said at the beginning of the year, would be top five in the league. I just don't buy it. Not with this kind of scheme that Sweeney puts together. I don't buy into that at all. Could they be middle of the pack? I think that's a little bit more relevant. I think that's a little bit more legitimate. But with the length that you have, that's great. But as we saw tonight, Memphis was attacking the paint. And when you have all that length, you would think, way the scheme is set up, where these guys are all boxed in, you would like to think you could defend a little bit of that, and yet all these guys were running all over you inside. All of them were. And I'll say this, here was another blessing tonight. Mike Conley, 2 of 12 from the field. Not good. 2 of 12. So the Bucks got a little break there. Because Conley, what, 7 points tonight? Yikes. 27, though, off the bench for Evans. He's having one heck of a year as a sixth man. He could be sixth man of the year. Evans is, he's had a hard time trying to find his role as a player throughout his career. This might be his role, being the sixth man. Another legend, Santo, Westside, you're next up on the Fan. What's up?
Good evening, sir. You have to excuse me. I was at the game, so my voice is a little hoarse.
That's cool.
Okay, a couple things. First of all, number one, it is amazing to me how this is Bledsoe's third game, and you can already see tonight when he came out of the game how it changes the dynamic of the team. Like, I don't know what his plus-minus was tonight, but it must have been huge because when he comes out, we were up by 8. He comes back in, we were down by 5, and it seemed like that's happening the whole game. So
you're looking at Bledsoe's plus-minus?
Yeah, he must have been pretty big tonight.
It was plus 19.
Yeah, see, that's just off the chain ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's exciting but kind of scary at the same time because, you know, like, I can't even remember how we won games before he got here. It's, like, weird. And I love Brogdon, but it's very obvious that his lateral quickness at that point guard position, just he gets taken advantage of, and you can see what a real point guard defensively can do. I mean, I know you said we lucked out because Conley did bad, but some of that was on our defense too. Just the difference in the defense on the perimeter is huge. As far as being a top-five offense, I think maybe they'll end up in the top 10. It depends when Parker comes back. If he's really on fire, then maybe. But this team, defensively, I think, and I know the team still put up 103 points on us tonight, but that's a pretty good team. But I think defensively, when they have to lock down, they did. And I'm just really impressed with Bledsoe and what he's brought so far. And I agree with you. We have to go out and get another guy who can, you know, at least eat up some space and some rebounds. But, you know, Henson played pretty well tonight, but he just gets pushed around. There's nothing he can do about that. He's just a small guy.
Right.
You know, he's out of position. He's a power forward playing center. And so, but overall, I'm really impressed with the win tonight. It was a nice little crowd for a Monday. That's exciting to see. So, go Bucks.
Yep, absolutely. Go Bucks is right, Santel. Thanks for the call as always. And I'll give an honorable mention again. As I said earlier in the show tonight, Thon Maker, too, I thought played well. I really did, and he didn't draw a foul. You know, that's been one of Thon's biggest problems so far this season, guys. He draws way too many fouls. He makes way too many mistakes. There's way too much contact. And I know he's putting in the effort. He is. And he's young. He's really young. Some of you think he's 28 years old. I'm not going to debate that. I shouldn't even brought it up. But the bottom line is this. Thon Maker tonight, I thought, played really well, and he had some really good moments. You know, he had a situation where that baseline trap where, who was it? Tyreke Evans, I think. Tyreke Evans was trying to get away baseline, and Thon puts his body right in front of him and is able to push him out. That was just a good play. It was really good. It was a really good read from Thon. So for Thon to come out tonight, I thought he played pretty well defensively. He didn't make any stupid mistakes, didn't draw any fouls. And he had some good chemistry with Malcolm Brogdon, too, offensively, and he was able to clean some stuff up for Malcolm when he wasn't able to finish with his layups. 414-799-1250. We'll take more of your calls. Also, we'll go inside the Bucks locker room. We'll hear from head coach Jason Kidd. Take a look at the box score as well. Gary Wolf will coming up a little bit later in the show. A lot to get to tonight. 110-103, Bucks win. We'll have more right after this.
There's always something unexpected that changes the game. Here's tonight's X Factor of the Game.
Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 6 junior college sports. Learn more at bcsbobcats.com.
Welcome back. Bucks win 110-103. Radio Joe Zanzola with you. Follow me on Twitter at Radio Joe Sports. You can follow us at 105.7 FM The Fan. You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/1057FMTheFan. Feel free to like us. Get in on our topic question of the night. Do you think this Bucks offense can be top 5 in the league? 414-799-1250. We'll get to more of your calls coming up here. We'll also get to the box score in just a moment. X Factor. Well, there were quite a few X Factors. Just see the Bucks get hot in the final 5 minutes of that game when it looked like Tyreke Evans was going to just run away with things. To be down 5, to rally back like that was pretty impressive. And I think if we're looking at player-wise, hint, hint, this might be for your MVP coming up later. John Henson was clearly your X factor tonight. 17 points, 8 of 10 from the field. A big block late in the game to set up a Chris Middleton 3. I am hoping, even if the Bucks don't make a trade for another big man, and if they just roll with Henson and Thon and then this Boulogne boy kid, that they brought up from the G League. I just hope Henson continues to bring this kind of energy all season long because he's been so inconsistent as a Buck. And he's what? I think he's like the longest tenured Buck now. Am I wrong with that? I think John Henson has been here the longest. Of all the guys that I'm looking at on the roster here, John Henson, I'm pretty sure, is like the longest tenured Buck. I mean, I was looking, I had a roster, one of those team roster pictures, you know, and I dug it up the other day, and it was like from, 2012 or something, where you had, who were some of the crazy guys? Like, that was the season Ish Smith was on there, and J.J. Redick was on there, and it was such a bad team. It wasn't good. And Jim Boylan was the head coach, and Henson is sitting right there. And really, of all the guys sitting on that team roster, even all the front office guys, the coaches, none of them are here anymore. And it's just John Henson. Here he is. He's still with this team. Pretty crazy.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
All right, let's go inside the box. So as I mentioned, John Henson tonight, 25 minutes, 17 points, 8 of 10 from the field, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. Did get into some foul trouble, but overall, a very good game for John Henson. Giannis, the Greek freak, played 44 minutes tonight. Wow. 10 of 22 from the field, 0 of 1 from three-point land, 7 of 9 from the free throw line. Also had 9 boards, 7 assists, a couple of steals, a couple of blocks. Greek Freak doing his job, 27 points. Chris Middleton, 38 minutes tonight, 6 of 13 from the field. Got off to a really hot start. It ended up 4 of 5 from three-point land. 1 for 1 from the line, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 17 points for Chris Middleton. Eric Bledsoe, 27 minutes tonight, 4 of 10 from the field, 1 of 3 from three-point land, 6 of 8 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 4 dimes, 15 points for Eric Bledsoe. Tony Snell, again getting the start, 31 minutes, 3 of 6 from the field, 2 of 4 from the perimeter, 1 of 2 from the line, 4 assists, 1 steal, 9 points for Snell. Now we go to the bench. Jason Kidd tonight going with a 9-man rotation. Thon Maker, 23 minutes, 2 of 3 from the field, 2 of 4 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 1 block, no fouls. That is a plus. 6 points for Thon. Malcolm Brogdon, another decent night tonight. He got into some foul trouble early, but then came back and played well in the second half. 19 minutes, 4 of 11 from the field, 2 of 4 from three-point territory, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 10 points for Brogdon. Dellavedova, 1 of 3 from the field in 12 minutes, 1 of 2 from three-point land, 2 assists, and just 3 points for Delly. And then the guy that I haven't even mentioned yet on the show tonight, DeAndre Liggins, boy, he just does a lot of dirty work for this team, doesn't he? He's played some pretty good defense. You know what? As long as I'm Jason Kidd, DeAndre Liggins, he gets the minutes over Rashad Vaughn. He does. And on top of it, he's able to hit some threes. 2 for 4 from the field tonight. 3 of the shots he took were three-pointers. He had 2 of them. Had 3 steals along with 6 points. DeAndre Liggins, and there were some moments where he didn't look good, but I think for the most part, DeAndre Liggins has been a very good defender for this Bucks team off the bench. He really has. And as long as he continues to keep that up and is able to hit a three-pointer or be able to take a shot, take a jumper, or whatever when he's needed to, it's going to be very hard for Rashad Vaughn to see the floor. I just don't see how it's possible. I really don't. I just don't. The Bucks, 40 of 82 from the field tonight, 48% compared to really almost identical to the Grizzlies. The Bucks took 6 more shots than the Grizzlies. They were 37 of 76 for 48%. Bucks were 54% from three-point land compared to 42% for the Grizzlies. Better numbers at the line, though, for the Grizzlies, 18 of 21 compared to 18 of 25 for the Milwaukee Bucks. Grizzlies did out-rebound the Bucks 37-36. Assists went to the Bucks 23-21. And really, turnover-wise, you only had 9 turnovers in the game for the Bucks tonight. That is a positive. You have to be very happy with that. Again, as the Bucks win tonight 110-103, knocking off the Memphis Grizzlies 3-0. After having that 4-game losing streak, you trade for Eric Bledsoe. Bucks are 3-0 with Bledsoe on the team. Next up for the Bucks Wednesday night, they have the Detroit Pistons at the BMO Harris Bradley Center. Pistons just rolling and just having one heck of a year. Did they play tonight? I don't think they played tonight. I think they were off tonight. I'm just looking at the scores around the league. Yeah, I don't think they played tonight, but they're coming in at 10-3, which is just really, really good start for that squad. And hopefully the Bucks will make a response after losing to them in Detroit the last time that they played. Tony Northside, you're next up on the Fan. What's up?
What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, here's my thing. I was at the game today, and I was pretty close to the court, so I could hear, you can hear the players talking, and I should say you hear the lack of talking from the Bucks defensively. In the first half, the best player defensively was Thon Maker. Okay, and one of the reasons why, because he was talking, so he was flashing, he was showing, but he was also dropping back. He was recovering. Okay, but you could hear him actually talk to his fellow teammates as far as what to do. And that defensive unit, that second unit, actually played better defense than the first unit. In the fourth quarter, you could actually see Henson actually communicating. Okay, you hear him communicate. I think the biggest problem I see with the Bucks and their defense, because you can't stop that corner three, but you have to talk. They do not talk a lot. At least they don't talk loud enough so you can hear the communication going on with them on defense. And when it comes to their offense, Bledsoe came in the fourth quarter, you actually saw a pace in their offense. It wasn't a lot of dribbling to get something started. It was coming down, initiating the offense. You actually saw Henson cut through the middle, Giannis cuts back door. But you saw two cuts being made, creating space and openings for players to get open for a three. Henson came in, Giannis came baseline. He kicked it over, I think it was Snell, for a three-pointer in the corner. Their problem is they do a lot of, it gets stagnant, and they don't move. They need to get more of a motion offense going, and that allows more players to play because you can get guys who are specialists in their shooting. That also will allow Giannis to get a little more rest because he can't be playing 44 minutes a night. If the ball moves, it creates a lot better offensive opportunities. Because the one thing I had a problem with Giannis today is that he got 27, but it looked almost like a hard 27.
Right.
And he can't keep having nights where it's a hard 27. And ball movement is going to create a lot easier chances for him to score. And also Middleton, when he gets someone like Conley on him, he can't take forever to make his move. He either has to catch it, face up, identify it, and attack, post him down, jab step, little pivot move, and put it up. He takes too long, and the longer you take to take advantage of the advantage that you have, it's no longer an advantage.
Right.
The ball gets in Chris Middleton's hand in the post, and it just stops. He's got to get that thing up. You're going to make some, you're going to miss some, but you're never going to make it if you don't shoot it.
Well,
he's got to get that shot up.
Yeah, and I don't know. And the thing is, Tony, I'll leave you here for just a sec. That's the thing so far with Middleton is, okay, he had that 43-point night in Charlotte. And then beyond that, I've just been watching Chris, and I just feel like he's forcing. I just don't know if Middleton feels confident enough with his shot, whether it's any type of jump shot, because we see him when he gets on, where he's hitting jumpers all over the place, whether it's fadeaways or it's pull-ups, or he's able to just, spot up with the three. I just feel right now I don't think he's fully confident in a jumper, and sometimes I do feel like he's forcing it.
Well, I think one thing you can do, now this is what happened, though, and you take a guy like Chris Middleton as a shooter, everyone knows you shoot better when you step into your shot. Mm-hmm. Because you have a rhythm just catching the ball
right
in the pocket. But that's what ball movement does. Ball movement gets the ball moving. So when you get it, when you swing over to Middleton like he did in the fourth quarter, it swung over to him, and he was able to step into it and rise up. The problem is, it's so much catching, being still with Chris right now. We were watching him, and Bledsoe was coming down the right-hand side, and he's actually looking like somebody cut. All these guys are just standing. Chris Middleton's not a one-on-one player. He's not a breakdown ISO player. Okay, but if you get him off of a screen, you see very few off-the-ball screens from the Bucks. You get him off of a screen, get him off of a double screen. Get some movement to create him, give him an opportunity where he can catch it while he's stepping into the shot, and he can just rise up and pull. He's a good jump shooter.
Right.
But he's not an ISO jump shooter. He needs to catch it, be able to step into it. But that's all about your offensive scheme. Now with Bledsoe, you have a point guard who can create some pace and some movement with your offense. I wasn't big on the Bledsoe trade, but I can see where it was needed because you have to have some pace and some sense of urgency in that offense. But it can't be a pass, give to Giannis in the post, and let him go through three guys.
Right.
That crap isn't going to work all season.
No,
get some motion.
Yep, Tony, I completely agree with you, and thanks for the call. And that's going to be the biggest thing with Bledsoe now in the mix. We've gotten a little bit of a taste of what Eric Bledsoe brings to this offense, what it brings to the starting five. He is so athletic, and he does do a really good job of pushing the ball. Now, can you get on the same page fully, not just with Giannis, but also with Chris Middleton as well? You'd like to think it's going to make Chris Middleton a little bit better and that he can find his confidence. The Bucks win tonight 110-103. We'll continue on. Baby Tausch has an update. We'll also hear from our fan insider, Gary Wolf. We'll hear from Jason Kidd, go inside the locker room. More next here on The Fan.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's hear from the Bucks head coach. It's time for the Coach's Corner. Sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back. Bucks win 110-103 over the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Hopefully he will be back coming up on Wednesday. The Bucks take on the Detroit Pistons. You know how I mentioned at the start of the show, in case you're just joining us, how much all these Wisconsin teams have been winning? I mean, think about it. The Packers won. The Bucks have been winning. Wisconsin football, Wisconsin basketball, they've been winning. Marquette's been winning. The Admirals have been winning. McKenzie won. Wisconsin soccer, they won. Congratulations to the UWM Panthers tonight. They defeated Iowa State 74-56. How about that for Pat Baldwin? Congrats. Anyone from UWM listening out there, that is really cool. That's a statement win right there. Hopefully Pat Baldwin keep it up for UWM. Because obviously first year, I mean, a lot of challenges when you're a first year coach taking on an entirely new basketball program. That is really cool. 74-56, the final, UWM knocking off Iowa State tonight. That's a really cool story. So the winning just keeps happening in Wisconsin. This is weird. We don't see this. Usually never. Nonetheless, really, really cool. Jason Kidd, the Bucks head coach, had a chance to talk after the game. This is what he had to say.
In the first half, it was a shoot-around, like this morning, where we were just going through the motions, and both teams were just going to go out and play buddy ball and score. When you give up 65 points in that half, the last two games, we've hung our hat on the defensive end, and I thought in the second half, we focused on the defensive end, and a lot of good things happened.
Obviously, you just talk about the defense, but looking at the stat sheet, 7 points for Mike Conley, holding him to that low, especially a scorer like him. What can you say of just about the efforts that the point guards put on him?
Yeah, it was quite a few guys had their turn. We just tried to wear him down. He's a very talented point guard in this league. He can stretch it, make threes. He puts a lot of pressure in the pick and roll. And with Liggins, I thought he did a great job. And I thought Bledsoe, again, he did a really good job in the pick and roll and on the defensive end. And then on the offensive end, I thought he was great too.
So often we end up talking about John Henson defensively, but tonight he was just kind of in that pinch post area and seemed to make the right decision every time. What does that mean for you guys to get another guy that you wouldn't maybe necessarily expect to be a playmaker to make a play?
Yeah, I thought the guys did a great job at carry over from shoot around this morning on the offensive end of understanding what we thought was going to be available. And John was a big part of that, being able to go high-low or take the shot when it presented itself. And I thought he was a great quarterback in that, where he thought he was open, he found the shot, and then also making plays by using the pass. I thought he did a great job tonight. And then I thought he was great defensively in the pick and roll, and then also rebounding, trying to make it tough on Gasol. He's one of the best centers in this league, and I thought John did a really good job on him.
Jason, a couple weeks ago you talked about after that game against the Thunder, you got beat by grown-ups. Well, a lot of grown-ups on that Memphis squad,
yeah,
too, and there was ties and lead changes and big swings. That, from one game to the next, that's a pretty big sign of growth.
Yeah, I think our growth started down in Texas. Once we got Bledsoe. Guys started to focus a little bit more on the defensive end, and that's, you know, kind of our MO. But I think the big thing is just understand we were down, I think, 5 or 7 points there with 7 minutes left. And normally that game gets away from us. And tonight, the guys that we, when we came back with the starters, we went on a run, but it started on the defensive end. And again, Giannis, we can count and look and watch Giannis, but we need everybody to participate on the offensive end. And I thought he did a great job of finding guys.
Coach, can you speak to the starters, 4 of the 5 in double digits tonight, and the bench was outscored, but when you get that type of production from starters, then it doesn't mean that the bench has to carry such a load then, right?
Yeah, I think, again, our bench has been great, you know, before this game, and I understand Malcolm, I think, got in foul trouble, so that kind of took a little steam out of his sail. But I thought, again, the starters did a great job in understanding where the time and score and what they had to do, and that was to get stops when they came in that fourth quarter. So sharing the ball, again, Bledsoe, I was going to call a timeout at one point, but he's a little quicker than I anticipated, and he ended up getting a layup. But, it, you know, I think if we can use his speed, you know, understanding everybody thinks we're going to play to Giannis every possession, but I think he's starting to understand how to use Giannis. And down the stretch, we got stops, and then also we got, you know, we made some shots that we needed to. And understanding, you know, everybody wants the ball down the stretch there, and I thought they trusted Bledsoe to make a play.
You know, we've talked about the chemistry of the new starting unit a whole bunch. Just to, for them to come in with a deficit with 7.5 minutes to go and kind of just collectively know exactly what they need to do, like what goes into building that over less than a week?
Trust and communication and participation by the guys. And I think understanding what Bledsoe brings to us tempo-wise on the defensive end is something that we haven't had, and so it's nice to see. And then on the offensive end, just being able to share the ball and trust that someone's going to make the right play, and you can see that.
There was a flurry there late, Jason. I think it was tied at 96. You're working your way back. Snell hits a three, you tie it at 96. And then kind of an alley-oop lay-in by Giannis, and then that drive by Bledsoe. And that kind of, it didn't seem to take the wind out of Memphis' sails, but that was the first sign that they appeared that they thought they were in trouble anyway, that little flurry right there.
Yeah, I think, again, it was a heck of a pass to Giannis. He did the hardest part, and that's putting the, you know, making the catch and putting it in. And then we talked about Bledsoe's speed, being able to get to the basket. You know, I thought, again, the guys did a great job of understanding time and score and being able to share the ball and being able to execute. And on both ends, offensively and defensively, we did a good job there in that second half.
You talk about Giannis catching that one. We saw him score, I mean, a million different ways tonight. What does it mean for your star to show that trust that he can play off ball and make those type of plays?
Yeah, you know, I think he's going to get a lot of attention. He's going to always see 2 to 3 bodies. And, you know, I think he's showing his patience and his maturity to be a decoy at sometimes and being able to let his teammates score. And it'll just make the game a lot easier for himself, but for everyone. And he's going to score the ball. He's going to touch the ball. But I think also what's underrated or hasn't been talked about is his playmaking, being able to find the open guys. He's double teamed. He finds Dele for a big three. You know, being able to be unselfish and trust. And when he can do that, it'll make it a lot easier for him and for his teammates.
Now, a Bucks postgame update from fan insider Gary Wolfel. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Bucks win 110-103. We'll get to some of the comments from inside the Bucks locker room coming up, but joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is our fan insider, Gary Wolfel. Haven't talked to this man in a while. Hi, Gary. How are you?
Jay-Z, how are you?
I'm good. Bucks win 3 straight against another Western Conference foe, which is really cool, and Eric Bledsoe 3-0, of course, since being traded over. I do want to start, though, with John Henson, Gary, because Henson had another just tremendous game tonight. I mean, just all around, he just played really, really solid. And I think so far in the first 13 games, John Henson, this is probably the best John Henson I've seen maybe ever. The only issue I have is, can John Henson keep this up all season long?
Well, it's funny that you brought up John Henson's name, because I was thinking about him myself. And you know, statistically, he's had better games during the course of his career. I mean, he's had some monster games, but he's never had a game like tonight where he was such a force down the stretch. I mean, he was huge. on basically both ends of the floor. I mean, I was looking at the play-by-play here. Get this. With 4 minutes to go, do you remember when he had that big block? It was a huge block that got him going. Then he had a five-foot hook shot. He had another driving hook shot after that. Then he had a rebound and another rebound and a third rebound. And then, fittingly, he had the dunk, you know, with 12 seconds left. So just a tremendous game by John Henson.
Talking with our WSSP basketball insider, Gary Wolfel. I've been asking this here to Bucks fans tonight, Gary, about the offense itself, because I think with Bledsoe coming in, it's really added another element. I think you know that the strength of this team is going to be their shooting with Bledsoe, and we've seen Bledsoe already fit in well. I had a caller, just call in about communication, and it's something that they've been doing more of defensively, offensively. And Eric Bledsoe has been able to provide more energy to be pushing the ball to some of these guys. I think for the most part, three games in, Gary, I've been pretty pleased with what Eric Bledsoe has been able to bring to the table, and it's helped this offense.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's no secret. He's a good player. I mean, he's a fringe all-star player, and I had a long conversation with him before the game and after the game. And he told me, he said he wants to be an all-star one day. I said, also, what do you bring to the table for the Milwaukee Bucks? And the first thing he said was toughness. And you normally don't think of a 6'1" guard bringing toughness to a team, but he does. Yep. I mean, tonight I think he had, what, 7 rebounds?
Yeah.
He's fearless. He'll go in and play with the big boys. So, toughness is an element that the Bucks have been lacking. Some scouts around the league have told me they thought they're pretty soft, you know, outside of a couple guys that really get after you. You know, Middleton when he plays defense, Snell when he plays defense. But for whatever reason, there's a lot of people out there that think the Bucks are on the soft side. But Eric Bledsoe is definitely not soft.
Do you think that this Bucks offense can be top five in the league?
Top five?
Yeah, top five.
When Jabari comes back, no question. I mean, you got 3 big-time scorers. Well, basically 4 big-time scorers then.
But do you put them all in the starting lineup? Or do you take one off the bench and they go off as your sixth man?
Well, I mean, in my world, I'd bring Eric Bledsoe off the bench. I don't think he's going to be willing to accept that role. But I think he would just be an unbelievable sixth man. You know, bring him off the bench and play him about 28 to 32 minutes a night. And with that second group, you know, give him the green light. Let him shoot whatever he wants, and he'd love to do that. But, my goodness, I mean, if Jabari comes back healthy, which I fully expect, you pair him with Giannis and you pair him with Middleton and Bledsoe, you're talking about one of the most potent offenses in the league. So it should be a lot of fun to see how this unfolds.
And just last thing for you, Gary, the defense itself. I mean, we see – in the first half, the Bucks give up 65 points to Memphis. In the second half, they give up 38. And really, this kind of just personifies what this defense is. There's going to be nights where it's going to look good. Everyone's following. The energy is there. They're communicating. And then there's going to be other nights where they're going to be leaving so many shooters wide open. It's going to be 3 after 3 after 3, and you're done. It's over. Can this defense be at least top 15?
Yeah, I think they clearly can be, especially if John Henson plays like he did tonight, and especially if Eric Bledsoe plays like he did tonight. You know, I was talking to Bledsoe after the game about matching up against Mike Conley. I mean, those two have been going at each other, you know, for several years in the Western Conference. And, man, I'll tell you what, he made life miserable for Michael Conley down the stretch. So
sure did. 2 of 12 from the field tonight.
Exactly. So, I mean, if Eric Bledsoe plays that kind of defense, which he, you know, certainly is capable of, and John Henson, you know, he's not going to have nights like this every night, of course, but if he's remotely close to it, this could be a really dangerous team.
It's going to be interesting to see. Bucks go back at it against Detroit on Wednesday night. Gary, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you. Actually, you're on the morning show tomorrow, right?
I am, bright and early.
All right. What time again? I don't know. We don't communicate.
Put it this way, Joe. I'm working on a story for a Japanese magazine that has to be done by 3 o'clock. So.
Holy crap.
Well, I'll just probably stay right up.
3 a.m.? Holy crap.
Yeah, it's for a Japanese magazine, and they wanted a feature story on Eric Bledsoe, and their deadline was tonight. So
cool. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, I'll leave you to it, Gary. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Yep, you got it. There he is, Gary Wolfel, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank has been committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, visit greatmidwestbank.com to discover the benefits of simply local banking. We'll wrap things up coming up next.
Hey, Bucks fans, let's get tonight's Chili's MVB. Be the first to know this standout player tomorrow morning at 8:35 during Chuck and Winkler to win free food from Chili's. Chili's, famous for burgers, ribs, fajitas, and margaritas.
Give it up to John Henson. He is your Chili's MVB. Be sure to tell Chuck and Winkler tomorrow morning that, and you get free food from Chili's, which is a pretty good deal. We are out of time. That is it. My thanks to Mitch down at the BMO Harris Bradley Center, Baby Tosh other side, as well as Sunshine Training. I'm sure you'll be hearing from him coming up on the Fan at some point down the road. Sparky will be back Wednesday on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show when the Bucks take on the Detroit Pistons. A big game. We'll see if the Bucks can make it four straight. Can't talk. It's late. Time for bed. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. Thanks for joining me tonight. Again, Bucks win 110-103. Keep it going. We'll see what happens. Have a good night, Milwaukee.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.